All right, did you figure out the problem from before? Where's the missing dollar? If I leave you in this stew thinking about it, you will never find it. Because what I've done is changed the way you're thinking about the problem. And I did it by my suggestion of how to solve this. What the real problem is account for $30. Where did $30 go? How much does the innkeeper have? How much does each guy have? They gave him 10, but he gave him back one. So they each have one right now. And the good deed bellhop has two. So I can account for all $30. But you'll never find it with that thinking method. So it's an interesting thing about the mathematical world, how you can... Why people say, I hate math because it doesn't do what I want it to. Well, it does, but we think about it wrong often. So that was just a fun part of that game. Almost every year that I've been here, at some point comes up questions about Social Security, but it's individually from someone just either getting close to taking it or wanting to know a little bit more about it. So Brother Terry suggested to me that perhaps this year I do a little bit of a quick primer. There's so much data here that you would be overwhelmed with it. But kind of a primer on what's involved in Social Security matters. And now I didn't check for sure if this is bulletproof. Because every time I instruct people about Social Security, there's a shoot the messenger concept that comes into place. So I didn't make up any of this stuff that I'm telling you. I'm simply the messenger. And if I'm doing your taxes, that's when I become your messenger, and I don't want you to shoot me then either. But there's lots of things about Social Security that has this general running through the air. I think I know what's going on with it. But when it actually comes down to your time to do a tax return that has to do with Social Security, then you scream at me. So this is a little bit of information about so that maybe there's a little less of that if I'm helping you with this somewhere down the line. Just trivia-wise a little bit, Social Security is not a new thought. Out of Europe came what were called poor laws. And some board of people would generate who was worthy and who was unworthy. Those are the two categories of who got some money from the government. It carried over into our colonial situation, and it was much the same kind of thinking, a poor tax. If you didn't have enough to live on, how can we be compassionate and tender and all that to do that? And then come up with different methods to do that. The first formalized Social Security program that was ever in our country happened after the Civil War. The Civil War pension law came into being right after Civil War, and it was a very small amount of money. As time goes by, we lose the concept of money. Like, my grandfather talked about buying bread for a nickel. Well, you can't buy a slice of bread for a nickel now, but so the currencies of different times make young people go crazy under trying to understand how you could live on. My first job was $1.50 an hour. And my wife got $1.50 an hour. And we lived in a $50 a month apartment and was going to college. And in some ways I was probably better off then than I was several times during my lifetime, where I had a lot more money but a lot more expenses. So there's that concept to keep in mind here too. But Confederate soldiers were not permitted to get any pension, but the Union soldiers got a little bit of money, And the widows got some money from the government because of the death of their husbands in the Civil War. And there was various plans. In fact, the 1920s was kind of a hotbed of ideas for social programs. And some included every Thursday you'd get $30 from the government if you were in the worthy category. And that one didn't hold up. And then there was attempts at other methods, and most of them didn't hold up. But that led into all the thinking into the 30s, and then the stock market crash. Just very quickly, if you don't understand what the stock market crash was about. At the time in the 20s and 30s, so in the early 30s, if you bought a $100 share of stock, you only had to give them $10 to buy it. You were allowed to what they called margin of $90. So it's like you borrowed $90, you only had to pay $10 to buy a $100 stock. If along the way the value of this was going down, you had to kick some more money in so that it kept in that ratio. And that was kind of the law of the time. And a lot of people in the cities were buying stock on margin, they called it. And it was big margin. It was 90%. So in 32, 33, the stock market did this. It's supposed to be doing this kind of thing. But it really was a literal crash in 1929 and carried into 33. And so what happened is all these brokers that were set this up said, okay, you owe me $50 more. Well, they didn't have $50 because they had borrowed it. So they couldn't come up with the $50. So now this is only worth about $40 now because of the crash. And they have to make up all this difference that was here so that you're back in relationship with that $40. They didn't have it. And if you owned a lot of stock on margin, which the fanciful thinkers of the day did, these are the ones that jumped out of buildings in New York City or off bridges and things, because there was no way conceivable in their mind they could ever think how you could correct the situation, because your investments were borrowed. Out of that comes a principle I'll share with you. Never borrow to invest. You're paying interest on what you've borrowed. What you're earning better be more than your interest, or why do that? This is the real reason for it, though. Actually, today, there are still margin accounts. But they look like this. You buy a $100 share of stock, you put up 90, they'll lend you 10. So it's impossible for a stock market crash to happen today the same way it did in the 20s, because margin was the real reason for that crash. But when that crashed, of course, that put everybody, or a whole bunch of people, into financial ruin. And there were already people that were aged and weren't working or couldn't work. And there became this compassion thinking of how can we solve something here. So the government goes to work on that. And in the 30s, under Roosevelt, there was working toward coming up with some sort of, and they had several names for it along the way, but eventually it became the Social Security programs that we know now. Just a little bit of trivia at the beginning of this, and then we'll get into some of this detail. The payment of monthly Social Security benefits began in January of 1940. That was the first check that ever went out under the Social Security system. And were authorized not only for aged retired workers, but also for aged wives and widows, children under age 18, and surviving aged parents. most of these people had never paid anything into it. Because when you start a program like that, they're going to start paying you money that you never paid in. So the first people never paid in much. Since then, we're all paying into the system. It's not technically an entitlement like some politicians like to call it, because we are paying into the system. January 31st, 1940, the very first monthly retirement check was issued to Ida Mae Fuller. She lived in Ludlow, Vermont, and the check was for $22.54. It was the first Social Security check that went out. Ms. Fuller was a legal secretary. She retired in November of 1939. She started collecting benefits in January of 1940 at age 65, and she lived to be 100 years old, dying in 1975. So Ida Mae Fuller worked for 3 years under the Social Security program. So it was passed in 1937. She worked 3 years, so paid in the little bit that was required of them, and accumulated the taxes that were required on that. She paid in on her accumulated salary for those 3 years. And that total salary for the 3 years that she worked was $24.75. This is what they collected on Social Security. Her initial monthly check was for $22.54. She's getting real close to break even right away. But since she lived to be 100, her lifetime collected total was $22,888.92 of Social Security benefits, having paid in $24.75 on that. So, as far as I know, Ida Mae is the only one that has gotten a great deal out of Social Security. Just another little bit of trivia. In 1937, which was the first full year of Social Security, there were 53,236 people received checks. And the total checks that were paid out in that year were $1,278,000 in 1937 for 53,000 people. Today, just to give you scope and scale of numbers, in 2008, there were 50,898,244 recipients of Social Security checks. And the total they paid out in 2008 under Social Security was $615,344,000 were paid out in 2008. That did not include the fact that 7.5 million people received $43 billion related to SSI. These were people that became disabled, and under the SSI program of the Social Security, that's the benefits they got by 2008. So you can see the program is mammoth. It is the singular political hot potato that's there. So people say to me, yeah, hopefully it'll be there when I get there, when I'm, you know, they're 35-year-olds tell me that. Well, I'm going to tell you that unless there's a complete collapse of worldwide economy, which I don't find exactly when it will be in the scripture, but there's end times are interesting studies. It will be there when you get there, because there is no politician. Statesmen have died off long ago. There's no politician that's ever going to say, we're going to cancel Social Security program. Now, there'll be changes to it, and I'll mention some of those here as we go along with this. But for your planning, depending on how close you are to Social Security, you may have interest in this today, or you may be going, okay, this is one of those after lunch things that is going to bore me to tears. Well, it will until it's time for you to collect Social Security. So that's up to you whether this interests you or not. I'll show you some things about it, though, is where you would have a tendency to want to hurt me but I'm just the messenger. So just keep that in mind. All right? The first sheet I gave you on handout, this is the 2018 current truths about what's going on with Social Security. If you are working, you pay in Social Security 6.2% for Social Security and 1.45% for Medicare. If you're working for a company, they're required to match that amount. It's collected from your paycheck, these amounts, match it, and then send that in to your credit to the Social Security Administration. Since you're in ministry, under clergy classifications of the minute of the IRS codes, there is no one to pay your other half because you're considered self-employed. And so a self-employed individual, whatever income you have that is subject to Social Security taxes, which is your income less ministry expenses, you have to pay the full 15.3% of Social Security. Now, where this gets tricky, and I destroy pastors at least one a year since I've been doing this, when it's for the first time they realize, I tell them, well, you have a housing allowance, right? Yeah, I've got an $18,000 housing allowance. Okay. I said, that saves you income tax. You don't have to count the $18,000 in your income because on a 1040 form, two taxes are calculated. Income tax is the front half and or front and part of the back. And the little section right under that, it calculates Social Security taxes. And they're not the same. They can be paid with the same money, but they're not the same taxes. So you can have income taxes, you can have Social Security taxes. The housing is allowed not to be claimed for income tax purposes. So that does save you income tax. If you have several children, you probably didn't need that housing allowance. So you may not want to go through all the problem of keeping track of housing allowance if it's not going to be an income tax benefit for you. But if you do have a housing allowance that's taken off of income tax, you must add it back in on a worksheet for your tax return and pay Social Security taxes, which is 15.3%. So there's always at least one pastor a year that first time I go to his church and we go over his tax stuff, and I say, well, last year you didn't pay on Social Security on your housing allowance. Well, I don't have to do that. Well, you don't want to. And I hate to be the one to tell you, but you do. I mean, that's tax law. And so that year he finds out that 15% of $18,700 he owes in Social Security taxes. Where am I going to get $2,700? There's some questions I'm not able to answer, but we try to help them with that. But if you weren't aware of that, you got shocked before you're working on your tax return today. So just be aware that if you claim a housing allowance, it is taxable for Social Security purposes, unless you're not in the Social Security system. We'll get to that in a little bit later. If you're working for a company, though, the first $128,400 is taxed for Social Security purposes. That has gone up rapidly over years. I've worked in the business world about 40 years, and I'd say four or five of them, I hit the limit. That isn't what the limit was then. It used to be limits of about $40,000, then you didn't pay taxes for a while, it went up to 60-something. It has jumped rapidly in the past 10, 12 years. So $128,000, $128,400, they'll withhold Social Security tax on. If you make more than that, then that last 3 weeks of the year, they won't take out Social Security tax because you've reached the maximum. So it looks like a raise for one paycheck, you know, so don't get excited about it. That's just what happened. Medicare changed a few years back to where it used to match the limits on Social Security. There is no limit on Medicare. So even a gazillionaire, if he earns that in the year, he has to pay the 1.45% tax on all gazillion dollars. The next thing that's going to happen, and I don't know what year it will happen, is Social Security will go to a no-limit situation. So, because they need more funding than they're getting, so that will change eventually. But right now, that's what 2018 limits are. Earnings required to count as a credit. You must have 40 quarters of work to be qualified for a Social Security check. That's 10 years worth of work. So you have to at least have work non-ministerial. Well, it could be ministerial if you're in the system. But if you were bivocational, as long as you have 10 years of work, you're going to get a Social Security check anyway, even if you had opted out of Social Security for ministry purposes. I'll pause and do this right here. If you have assessed your Social Security life right now with the current records they have, and you're getting within 5 or 8 years of retirement, and you're a few quarters short of having your 40-quarter minimum, there are some suggested things you can do to get your other 40 quarters. The easiest one nowadays that's usually suggested is you write a Kindle book on some subject that you know about. Yo-yo tricks or whatever you can know about. And if enough of them sell on Kindle, it counts as employment and adds to your credit because you pay tax on the earnings you got from writing your book. Substitute teaching. Sometimes you can work a school district and do a little bit of teaching. Our pastor, for a while, when he needed additional tuition for the kids at Christian school, he got a job at an airport washing airplanes. You can go to the Walmart, the McDonald's. You might not, as a pastor, you might not like to be seen with a Mickey D's hat on. That's up to you, but it does count as quarters if you just want to make sure you're going to have enough quarters to get Social Security. So you can be creative on that, but that's some of the suggested ways to make sure you have enough quarters so you'll get a check. The earnings test limit, this is if you've already retired, you're now getting a Social Security check, but you continue working. In 2018, here are the limits, $17,040. Only government can come up with numbers like this. $17,040. If you earn more than that, it could mean you have to start paying back Social Security benefits you got last year, because that's the maximum you're allowed to earn while taking Social Security check. And the way they do that, I'll show you in one of the handouts later here, but that's the limit. $17,040 is what you can make while receiving Social Security check and not affect your benefits. In the year that you're about to turn your full retirement age, up till the point of your birth date, you can earn up to $45,360, and it will not impact the benefit you get in your next, or when you start Social Security. The maximum monthly Social Security benefit for workers retired of all ages, the biggest check they give out is $2,788 a month. So if you've had good jobs, and even though the calculation might look like you should get more than that, that is a maximum in the plan that they'll pay out. So getting $2,788 a month plus whatever other pensions or income or whatever you have, or if you're still doing some work, probably puts you in at least reasonable economic set. It was never meant to be full retirement, but and only if you had very good jobs are you going to get anywhere close to that limit. So the typical, well, there's an average shows somewhere here on what they're paying out. The full retirement age right at this moment, if you were turning 66 this year, you would be at your full retirement age. And we'll see a chart I'll give you in the handouts as well as to that's going to eventually go up to 67. It's already legislated. I guess it will eventually go to 72. Considered full retirement age for full benefits. But that has not been legislated yet. So 67, it will be the age that you might have to go to, depending on your age now, to start collecting benefits. This particular year, they had a cost of living adjustment of 2%. So whatever you got last year, your check in 2018 per month will be 2% higher. Good news, bad news. The cost of the Medicare premium that comes out of your check before you get it went up just enough to cover that 2%. So actually, no, it didn't, because I think on my Social Security check I get $17 more this year than I was getting. So the Medicare premium did not bump up enough to take care of that 2% cost of living. So these are all the behind-the-scenes things, busy stuff about Social Security that no one ever hears about, no one ever cares about, no one even knows that they should ask about it. But this is a summary. This is right off the IRS and Social Security page for this year. So you have the current stats that are there. Supplemental income, supplemental security income is simply if you are disabled somewhere along your work career, these are the kind of amounts that you would expect to get, and they go on for your life. So when you become full retirement age, it doesn't change. SSI, if you go on that, sets the amount you're going to get for the rest of your life, but you have gotten it for many more years, all right? So that's just some stats that relate to this particular year. So if you haven't done any planning or you want to think about some planning, that's where we are right now. The second sheet I gave you in the handout, full retirement age, when is that? Well, in 1937, the full retirement age was 65 years and no months. So whenever you turn 65, you were considered a full retirement age. That stayed that like that till 1942, 1943 to 54, kind of the baby boom era, around near the end of World War II. For that grouping, 1943 to 54, your full retirement age will be 66. And that's the band we're in right now. So people turning 66 are now reaching their full retirement age in this year, probably till 2019. That will be two. Starting after that, though, you were born in 55 and later, it goes 66 years, 2 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 10 months, till 1960. If you were born 1960 or later, you have to achieve 67 years old before you're in full retirement. So that's your maximum benefit that you get by calculations. I'll show you in a moment. If you decide to retire at age 62, and I have another chart, I'll show you that too. That next column just shows you how many months early it is from what your full retirement date would be. So if you wanted to retire at 62 and your full retirement age is going to be 67, There's going to be 5 years in there that you'll get a check, but it'll be a lesser check than if you had waited until you reached full retirement age. And here right now is how it calculates. For every $1,000 of benefit you get, so in these examples, just think of $1,000 as your monthly check. It can be more or less than that, but for each $1,000 that you're supposed to receive, if you retire at age 62, you'll get $800 instead of $1,000. And that's will set the base level of where your Social Security is. So you'll get $200 less a month the rest of your while you're alive. Okay? That's up there a 1937 deal. Born in 1960, for the 1,000, it's going to discount 30%. So you're only going to get a $700 check if you retire at age 62. So there are break-even calculations. Well, let's see. If I retire at 62 and get $300 less, how long do I have to live before the government wins? And you can figure that out. We'll show you that in a moment here. But just know you get a discounted amount if you retire at 62. Your wife gets a benefit because you get a benefit. Whenever you retire and you're married, your wife would also get, if you're born in 1960, we'll use that example at the bottom of that chart, she would get a $500 check when you get a $1,000 check. But if you retire at 62, you'll get $700 and hers discounts to $325 then. And that will set the amount you're going to get the rest of your retirement time. So you have to think about these things as you're getting close to your full retirement age, or if you're going to retire at 62, what that'll mean to you economically. At age 65, you're required to be covered by Medicare. If you didn't retire yet, you still have to get Medicare. And they will actually bill you a premium every month for how much your Medicare insurance will cost you that you have to pay. Once you're getting benefits, they'll take that premium payment out of your check before you ever see it. So it'll already be subtracted out of your check. And if you're not going to retire till later than 65, though, and you feel healthy and you want to take a chance on it, that's fine, but you will be penalized if you didn't start buying for Medicare when you're 65. I did not buy when I retired, nor did my wife. And when we went to get our Medicare supplement plan, which covers the rest of the 20% that Medicare doesn't cover, I found out that because we went a year or so gambling on our good health and not having to, we never made a claim on anything, but because of that, right now I have to pay $10.50 a month for the rest of my life to the Medicare supplement people. My wife has to pay $11.60 a month for the rest of her life. It's the penalty for not starting Medicare when I was 65. Okay, so even though I've got all these stats here and I'm going over with you, some of this was learned before I shot myself. I mean, before I realized these truths myself and became victim of some of them. So I'm sharing with you some of the things to keep in mind for consideration. This is the part where we can get collectively angry about the government if you want to. But the original high thinking about taking care of people in retirement was a scam from the beginning of the Social Security law. Here's why. In 1935, all U.S. people, included white, black, male, female, didn't matter who you were, in this grouping, life expectancy was 61.7 years. Now, some lived longer than that, others didn't. But that was what actuarial charts we're using as your life expectancy, health conditions in America, and all this. By 1940, it was 62.9 years. The Social Security law from the beginning said you're allowed to start getting benefits when you reach age 65. The government wasn't planning on having to pay out a lot of money in the Social Security system. They figured the taxes you were going to be charged for Social Security would actually be a little benefit to the coffers of the Treasury, because you wouldn't live long enough to get many checks. And that tended to be the case. A lot of the people that retired, the first people that were allowed to retire, did not live a great deal of time, many of them. What was the name of our young lady? She fooled them. She lived to be 100. Ida May. So if you can grunt and last to 100, you can have taken advantage of the government on this one. But they never intended to spend much. What happened? Well, medical advances and cleanliness conditions and all sorts of things improved in the United States over years. By 1950, and this was before the Salk vaccine even showed up, that was 1954, so it stopped polio in our country. But by 1950, the life expectancy was 68.2 years. Whoops. Now it looks like people are going to outlive this retirement thing. We expected them to die. By 1960, it had jumped up to 69.7. 2010, the latest stat I could get from the National Center of Health Statistics, 78.7 is life expectancy for the average anybody in the United States. So if you happen to hear a news broadcast and don't turn it off and listen to what's said sometimes, you might have heard the term unfunded liability. What that means is IRS or the Social Security has a contract with us. We've been paying in all the time we've been working. So under the contract, they must pay us a certain calculable method of how much in retirement per month. So it's a contract. It's not an entitlement. It's a contract. We've paid in. Well, because they messed up in their scheme, we're going to outlive them and they're all going to have to pay more. So unfunded liability means it's likely we owe you, what, almost 13 years or so of retirement benefits when we expected you to die. Okay, so that means I've got a liability in the government that maybe I don't have the resources to pay. How do we solve this? Closed-door meetings, all sorts of things in the government. So the original Social Security tax was very, 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 very small. Today it's 6.2. I suspect it's going to go higher by legislation. Medicare, 1.45 right now. I suspect it wasn't even there in 1937. Medicare came along later. I suspect that's going to increase. The limit on how much you can earn that they're going to take taxes out is going to be limitless, so every dollar you earn is going to be subject to that. So people that start putting pencil and calculators to this, they go, wow, that still isn't enough. If everybody lives till that time, we still don't have enough. All right, so instead of retiring at 65, we're now up to where legislated, some of you won't be able to retire with full benefit until you're 67. That will also change. There'll be some legislation in the future that's going to raise that, and I don't know how incrementally. I think maybe the next blast is just going to go to 72. So 72, that brings us a lot closer to what our life expectancy is. And if they can cause you to worry about it, then maybe you'll still die early. So I hate this sound, but that's the way I sometimes feel about the government. But, so as you can see, just so you have some more knowledge about the Social Security system, it wasn't ever meant to be a tremendous benefit for you. It's just that we fooled them and we're outliving them now. And that's some of the things that are going to happen in there. So the next one is just a thing I wanted to show you a little bit about the idea of retiring early. And I don't really have time to go through this in the detail that's here, but you can look over the detail. If it generates a question for you and you're getting close to retirement, I'll be happy to talk to you about it. But basically how this works, let me just talk the principle rather than look at the details. If you earn more this year than the $17,040, and you're also getting your Social Security check, the amount that you earn in excess of the $17,040, you have to pay back $1 for every $2 over that limit that you earn. So I have tax clients that say to me, I'm in that situation, so I have to quit work in September, because I'll earn too much if I work the whole year. And I go, well, it's only if you want to stop working in September. There is no 100% tax rate yet in our country. There used to be, before Reagan, just for your own curiosity, the top incremental rate was 90%. So I'm not working another hour to get a dime and give the government 90 cents. So a lot of people didn't work beyond that. It was confiscatory is the big term. They're just robbing. You're working for the government, really. So the major tax reform change that happened in the 80s under Reagan took that 90% rate down to 39 was the highest rate of tax you could pay in a country. And that they haven't been able to creep that all the way back up since then, and this new law this year even made that a little bit better. So, but if you earn in excess of the amount that you're allowed to earn by the government, you're going to pay it back. Well, how do you pay it back? Do they send you a bill? No, they do it a little more interesting than that. Say you're supposed to get in January, now you're supposed to get a $750 check. And your excess said you owed them back $2,500. You made enough money that $1 for each two, you now owe them $2,500. That's the example toward the bottom you can see. So month one, when you're expecting your $750 Social Security check, they send you a letter that says, we applied the $750 you were supposed to get to the $2,500 you owed us. And therefore, you don't get a check this month. And then the next month, they'll go, we applied the $750 you were supposed to get to the $1,750 you still owe us. And you don't get a check. The third month, they apply $750 to the $1,000 you still owe us, and you didn't get a check. And then the fourth month of the $250 you still owe us, we'll take that out of your $750. You'll get a check for $500. And then you're back on your full benefit check after that. Now, I'll just give you an inside tidbit here, because my first couple of years I still worked and had some decent income. So I owed them some money. And they told me that formula. And whatever check I was supposed to get, it was going to take till close to July to pay back the excess I earned from the year before. So you get this a letter from Social Security in the mail, and it tells you that. So I wrote them, and I said, nah, I'm not doing it this way. Because since now that is my prime source of income, that is an unacceptable method of paying you back. So come up with another idea. They're government, but they dress like you. They're bureaucrats. They come and sit at an office. They complain about work. They drink coffee, tell stories. Yeah, they have the mantle of government, but don't be so intimidated. You won't stand up for yourself. So with this letter, I got back a revision. Instead of the full amount of the checks, we'll take $1,500 out of your check until it's paid off. So I wrote them again, and I said, no, that's not acceptable. I won't accept that method because that's still my dependent income. So they wrote back, and they said, well, we'll take out $500 from your check for the next 4.5 years or something to pay it back. So I wrote back, I go, no, I don't like that either. So they finally wrote back and he said, well, we'll take $35 out of each payment until it's paid off. Okay, I'll buy that one. They took $35 out for about 1.5 years and then told me it was all paid off. So stand up for yourself. They don't know how to calculate anything. So make a deal that works for you. But you can write and tell them. Now, this is the way they will do it unless you protest about it. So if you're in that condition, you may just be aware of that story. You can try to contest that for a while. The next one, real quick, because we got to keep moving. I'm down to 4 minutes. It says, I'm going to cheat a little bit, but the next one is like a two-page form. This is just one example. If this is the way you earned your money over 50 years of working, you had $3,100 the first year of your work thing, you're about 20, 25 years old. Then the next year you didn't work at all, then the next year you did, then you were in college, you had some summer jobs, then you had a real job, and then you've done fairly well, then you got downsized when you were 30, in your 34th year, and so a couple years you didn't make much money. And so when it's all said and done, that's how you earned money your entire work career. The way your payment to you is calculated is the highest 35 years of work history. So what the column over next to it did, I took all those numbers, moved them over, and then sorted them high to low. So in that high to low sort, at 35 years, I still have positive entries in everything that was there. And you can see on the second page, that totaled $1.8 million. So this example person earned $1.8 million in their entire lifetime. Now, this is where they get fancy with their calculations so that it's kind of time values money from way back when you first started working to now and all of that. So first you take that full $1.8 million of the 35 years of work divided by 35 because you only use 35 years. That gives you an average annual income in this example of $51,863. You divide that by 12 and that would be $4,322. So before you start saying, oh, wow, that's not bad. I get a $4,300 check a month. I'm in good shape. No, that's not what it is. That's the numbers needed, the adjusted average monthly income. That's used for this formula. These are the current numbers they're using in the formula. It is subject to change at the whim of Congress. And it does change. But it's a weighted formula. So the first $856 of the average that I had, I get 90% credit for that. So that's 856 times the 0.9. So I'm at least at a base of $770.40 a month. The next increment of $4,301, so it takes it up to $5,157 is the maximum calculation on that. But the next $4,300 is factored at 0.32. Well, I don't even have enough in this example. So the $3,466 that was left out of the $4,322 times a 0.32, it's worth $1,109.12. If I had had a big, better jobs the entire work career, and so I had that calculated average of more than 5157, then I only get a 15% credit on any excess that was there on that one, and it would have come over. You add those totals up, and this will approximate what you get, because this isn't you doing the calculation isn't the one that counts. It's the third time they do it that actually counts. But this would give you a planning example. So this particular person's history would say you're likely going to get around an $1,879 check per month at full retirement. Now, just be aware that for every year that you do not earn anything of that 35 years, a zero goes into that, because they're still going to use 35 as a divider for your average. So if you only worked 15 years, yes, you worked the 10, so you're qualified for an in check, but the amount of your check is going to be much smaller because you have 0 years. And if you recall when you were a student, zeros never averaged in very well. Well, they don't average in very well for Social Security either. So if you have 0 year earnings as part of your 35 years, it is going to scale down the check that you're going to get total. But that's the intricacies of how they actually calculate these type of things. Now, I don't have time to do this, but I'll just say it to you so you, if it becomes an issue or a point that you'd like to know about, because I have much more material I was going to share with you out of a Lighthouse Legal Ministry seminar I was at, where the discussion was, what if you wait until age 70 to retire? If your full age is 67, but you wait till 70, what happens? Well, you get a bigger check for the rest of your life, but you don't start getting them until after you're 70. So that's the risk you're taking. But the benefit of that, particularly in clergy, is many times the pastor or missionary's wife has not worked in secular work throughout her lifetime. If you've been on the mission field a long time, you've been in the ministry a long time, she does not have much earnings credit toward having any Social Security situation. You would have to die for her to get your check. Hers would stop, but she would be replaced with your check if it's bigger. So actually, the bigger wage earner is the biggest check that lasts as a survivor. But in some of this planning that was talked about, if you wait till age 70 to retire, it's going to create a bigger shared benefit for your wife and a bigger check for you. So if you predecease your wife, she'll get a bigger check, and you've taken care of your wife for her remaining years in kind of the admonition of Scripture about caring for your own. I have run into guys that says, I don't care what happens to her after I'm gone. Okay. I usually only do their taxes about 1 year because we don't see eye to eye on this. But every once in a while you'll run into a character like that. But just the one last point, the 4361 form that I showed you in that thing, this was very popular 20, 25 years ago. In fact, at pastor seminars, they would pass them out to you, show you how to fill them out, encourage you to send them in, really as a financial decision. Because for you to pay Social Security tax, if you make $30,000, say that's your profit from ministry at the end of the year, you're going to owe $4,500 or so in Social Security taxes. Well, what happened in some of these bombastic seminars at the time, we're against all this communist social stuff, and so fill this form out, and you clergy is allowed to be exempted from Social Security. And many have done that. the younger pastors now that ask me about it before it happens, I encourage them not to file that. But if you look at the form, the statement that you sign is a very lengthy paragraph there that I'm going to guess is not technically what you believe, but in the fervor of these seminars, you filled it out anyway and sent it in. And if it comes back to you approved by the IRS, which it did routinely, you didn't have to pay into Social Security. But you also were not going to get a Social Security check related to ministerial income. Only if you were bivocational and you worked other work and were able to get a Social Security check from that. But that statement that's listed on number 7, I'm not going to read it, don't have time, you read it. And if you've already done this, if you filled out one, you decide whether you actually believe that statement you signed. Because at the time, they just said, sign that, we don't believe in this communist social stuff anymore. And they sent it in, and all of a sudden you're approved and you're not in Social Security. What has happened, so many pastors that did this made no other provision in their life than what Social Security would have done. So I tell the young pastors, fine, if you want to exempt out of Social Security and you actually believe that statement that you're going to sign, that's up to you. I'm not your conscience. But I want you to have an investment plan by the end of the year that you've already put some money in. I want life insurance policy for you. I want a short-term disability policy for you. I want a long-term disability for you. And I want, in fact, it's interesting. You can do if you're working for someone and they have a 403B or a 401K that they contribute to, that's a good investment. Take advantage of that. But you're also allowed to set up a Roth IRA if you're in one of those 401 plans. So when it's all said and done, you're going to nearly have to pay out to make sure you take care of your family in case of disability during your life and all this. You're going to have to pay out nearly what you were going to have to pay to Social Security. So while this fervor years ago was really an economic fervor, it's resulted in, I have worked sadly now with too many pastors retiring at 35 and 40 years that are having to learn phrases like, would you like fries with that order? Or paper or plastic? Because they have no income, they have no investment, no Social Security even they're going to get to cover them. So it's been a sad reality for me to see what has happened, because the same people that advised them to be in it did not do any advising on what you have to do to take care of yourself then. So I'm just the beacon on that that says if you're deciding about, there's rules about when you can do this. And by the way, this approved one that you get back from the government is your only proof that you're in it. Up to 7 years ago, they kept no electronic record on this. They now do. But before 7 years ago, if you signed up, they don't know about you being signed up. If you're ever audited and they notice on your return that you did not pay Social Security, they're going to ask you, why didn't you pay Social Security? And you're going to say, well, I filed a 4361. And they're going to say in the audit, show me your approved form. If you can't produce that, and I'm amazed at how many pastors that can't produce that, you will be subject to the last 3 years' tax returns, calculated Social Security on those 3 years. And if that happens, and this did happen to one pastor, and I said, okay, so now you're in the system. Since they made you pay it, because you can't get out of this once you're approved in this. But when they make you pay it because you couldn't prove you were out of it, you're back in the system. So then you can do Social Security later in your life. So it's one of the ways I've actually helped about 4 pastors get back in because of a technical, their position changed enough that I said, that's a new job. So you can be in it now with the new job. and they just jump back in and start paying it, and they're in it. So there's some things, while they look like rules and hard and fast, there are some things that possibly can be done. So if any of that comes into your planning and thinking, you know a little bit more about, you actually know more about it than you want to know now. But when it comes serious time where you're planning, if you need some counsel or rehearsing of this, just give me a call. My cards are up here on the table if you don't have one, and we'll be happy to try to help you out on that. All right? Thank you for the extended time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brother McMillan.